that with it thou mayst blow thy enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
It's all here. Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet.
Here's Higuain. Oh, it's gone in! There it is! The first hat trick in 12 years! Ola Kamara has it!
Columbus Crew FC looking like the next Candy Crush saga. Who doesn't love Candy Crush? I do.
Yes! Yes! Oh, God, yes!
Hey, buddies. It is the Massive Report podcast brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company at 424 West Town Street in East Franklinton and available at a craft beverage retailer of any repute near you, and the Old North Arcade at 2591 North High Street, 21 and up barcade with dozens of classic arcade games, foosball, air hockey, and a dope porch. This is episode 234 of this venerated podcast, and likely the single. This is the climax of this podcast. We're going to be spending most of the time previewing arguably the biggest game in Columbus Crew SC history, and we're just so thrilled to be part of it. We'll do a quick roll call here because we're full. We've got a full 11. We've been playing a couple men down for a couple weeks, but we've got the whole crew in here to dissect this one game. But my name's Bart Logan. Joining us, we've also got Ralph Schudel. Ralph, how are you doing, sir?
I don't know how to follow your intensity up right now. It's kind of alarming.
Be intense. This is Hell is Real Week, boys. I hope everyone's intense. Also with us, we've got Patrick Murphy. Smurf alert, how we doing?
I'm great, Bart. How are you?
Oh, I'm psyched, guys. I'm pumped. Also joining us, we've got Alex Stanek. Alex, how psyched are you?
I'm okay.
And he flew all the way back from Cairo just to be able to be on the podcast this week to preview this game, Sam Fahmy. Sam, how are you doing?
I am still incredibly jet lagged, and I'll probably fall asleep halfway through this.
Not likely, buddy. We've got a really big, important game to preview all episode. Of course, I'm talking about Wednesday's huge clash, the Ohio Cup, Hell is Real, the Derby, whatever you want to call it, the U.S. Open Cup matchup between the Columbus Crew Soccer Club and Football Club Cincinnati, which it really sounds really weird when you actually, like, don't say FC and you actually go out and say it. We've got that match to talk about. We'll also talk about, I guess there's some other game that Crew SC is going to play in this weekend against an actual real opponent from an actual real team league, Atlanta or something. So we'll talk about that. We also might talk about a little bit USA Soccer getting a valuable point over the weekend in Estadio Azteca. But mostly, again, we're going to be focusing on this huge clash of the Titans on Wednesday. If you want to sound off, it's a little late, but make sure to tweet us during the week at Massive Report to tell all your friends about this huge, huge, enormous game going on Wednesday. And I guess, fellas, what else is there really to say than, what would you compare this game to? Is this bigger or eclipsing the 2015 MLS Cup final?
What?
Yeah. No.
Wow, I'm going to have to put some cricket noises in there.
Yep. So yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about, though. The 2015 MLS Cup final never happened.
That's true. You're right. So it is the biggest game the Crew SC's played since at least 2008, that MLS Cup final they won. No, but jokes aside, guys, a big game for, I think, the fans almost more than the players, at least it might seem like. Because it's just it's one of those. It's a U.S. Open Cup game, of course. In the Greg Berhalter era, the U.S. Open Cup hasn't really been a big priority. But Patrick, you've been at practice this week. You've had a chance to kind of talk to some of the players and Greg Berhalter. How are they preparing for this game Wednesday in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the head there. I think, you know, in the minds of the fans, this has become a rivalry, become, you know, something more than just a regular Open Cup game. But I think for the players, they're looking at it as just another opportunity to go out there and maybe get some guys that, you know, don't always start the game, get them some minutes, you know, a chance to start a run potentially in the Open Cup. I do think they're excited to go down and kind of see what Cincinnati has to offer. Obviously, you know, like us all, we've heard about, you know, the massive crowds that they've got down there and kind of the atmosphere that they've created. So I think the players are excited for that. I also think that they want to kind of see if they can make a run this year. These past few years, we've haven't seen much of the Open Cup. As you mentioned, it's kind of been an afterthought. But with the depth that this team has, you know, they've already started 19 different players so far this season. So these guys have some experience, even some of the young guys. You know, and Alex Crenali and Nico Hansen, guys that will probably see some minutes on Wednesday. And then, you know, a guy like Lalas Abubakar, who has been back in training. Marshall Hollingsworth, we're expecting him to be back tomorrow. Greg was still kind of unsure about his status for the game. So guys like that that might, you know, get a chance to try and show something as well. I think this is a big moment for them. But, you know, I do think the fans are kind of pushing this one. In order for it to become a real rivalry, I think they're going to need to play more than once ever. But, you know, I guess maybe down the road that could become a thing. But right now I think it's you know, kind of business as usual when it comes to the fourth round of the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alex, obviously, no one is more fervently awaiting this matchup than you are. So as you look at it, how do you think Crew SC, like, why do you think that this has become such a big thing for Crew SC fans and for FC Cincy fans as well? Because it's not like they haven't been pushing this narrative for a while.
Well, I can only speak for myself as a Crew fan. I can't speak for my fellow Crew fans, but the only reason that I want to win is to make the FC Cincinnati fans be quiet for an indefinite period of time, maybe a month. If I could get 3 weeks even, I'd be kind of satisfied. But FC Cincinnati fans are very annoying in the same way that Seattle fans were very annoying when they first joined Major League Soccer, thinking, oh, you know, we're the biggest and the best thing ever. No, FC Cincinnati, you're a lower division soccer team. Yeah, you sell out a bunch of $2 tickets. Okay, congratulations. But please just settle down. Stay calm. It's going to be okay. So from my perspective, I really don't care beyond the fact that we're never going to hear the end of it if we lose. So that's kind of the motivating factor for me. For Cincinnati fans, I understand why it's a big deal. I mean, they want an MLS franchise. I'm becoming more and more skeptical that they're going to get one, especially now that it looks like the Miami bid is back on track for David Beckham's ownership group. But yeah, this is obviously a big match for them and an opportunity for them to showcase their team and to showcase their city to Major League Soccer owners and try to make their case for a professional team. But I personally don't want them to get a franchise. I don't think that it's a good city for another MLS franchise. I don't think that having two Ohio teams makes a whole lot of sense. But the owners can do whatever they want, and we'll have a good game. I'm going down there so I can get some Skyline chili. That's about the only reason I'm going down there. But hopefully we'll come out with a win. But again, it's the Open Cup, so who cares?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I think for both clubs, if we're looking at this realistically, Cincinnati has everything to gain and Columbus has everything to lose. If Cincinnati loses this match, it's going to be like they're a lower division team. They lost. That's what they're supposed to do. If Columbus loses this match, then there's a ton of fire in the Chicago, pardon the pun, I guess. You know, there's a ton of fire in the Cincinnati camp where they're like, oh, we beat we beat the big bad boys in Columbus up 71. You know, look, I just spent some time in the NASL. I went to Indy 11 this week, and they look more organized than FC Cincinnati does. I think Indy 11's way more deserving of an MLS franchise, and I think it makes more sense than rather slapping FC Cincinnati with an MLS tag.
I think it's, you know, I to a certain degree, I kind of agree with Ralph about Indianapolis getting a franchise over Cincinnati. But I can see how this in-state rivalry, you know, if it was FC Cleveland, it might have been a little bit more milder banter from the FC Cleveland fans. But, you know, Cincinnati or Columbus played Tampa Bay Rowdies last year, and Tampa Bay was pretty good that year, and they got decked. I think it was like 4-0 or 3-0, you know, or 3-1. Thank you, Murph. And it looked, I mean, they were completely outmatched. Now, FC Cincinnati has not been having the best year this year as they did last year, but I think this is more of a fan rivalry thing than it is anything else. But that's what fans want, and guess what? Fans who normally don't care about Open Cup are now caring about Open Cup, and maybe that's something that we want. But I would rather see, you know, I'm to be honest, I like the fact that there is a team that is drawing people in Cincinnati, period. I mean, I've lived in Cincinnati for 9 years, and I've seen many franchises that went there to die, and that was disappointing because Cincinnati has a really good youth and amateur soccer culture, and to have a team that's finally drawing people that has good money behind it, I think Cincinnati has shown that it can support a team, even if it's just a lower level team. Now, could they support an MLS franchise? I think that's still maybe about 5 years down the road when they have some ups and downs and have some controversy maybe within the team or within the team's organization, and that's when you'll really see how whether those fans truly stick with it or not, and that will be the true test maybe 5 years down the road. But otherwise, this is the Open Cup. I mean, even if we win this game, we're probably going to flame out to Chicago like we did the last 3 years, so whatever.
Boy, it seems like I'm the only one conducting this hype train right now for this Clash of the Titans, but we touched on it a little bit earlier, and I think one of the actually genuinely interesting storylines about this game on Wednesday will be the lineup that Crew SC put out there. And because, as we've touched on, that this hasn't been, that the U.S. Open Cup in the Berhalter era hasn't really been a priority, that, you know, he hasn't put together such, you know, great lineups. He used this as an opportunity to get some of those young players some time. But with all the, you know, added hype around this, and, you know, to be fair, it isn't just me doing it tongue-in-cheek. You had the owner of Columbus Crew, Anthony Precourt, Tony Aces, tweeting immediately after the draw that we were going to have the first edition of the Ohio Cup. So do you think it will be a sort of extra pressure for Greg Berhalter to put some, you know, players out there, you know, not just put some of the young guys out there? Or do you think it's still, he's just approaching this as strictly from a process standpoint, I want to get my young guys out there, to heck with the, to hell is real with the result, as long as I get my players the minutes that, my young players the minutes that I want them to get?
Well, so one thing about that whole Ohio Darby tweet that he sent out, that Precourt sent out a week ago, something like that. Are we just forgetting that the Dayton Dutch Lions existed at this point? Like, is that just a thing that now that they're not a team anymore, that we're just going to pretend, yes, like they never existed ever? Okay. I wasn't, yep, sure. Cause yeah, we've
Dayton,
had other,
Dayton never nearly got the hype that Cincinnati got, that Cincinnati is getting right now. I mean,
that's
no,
true, but
no
we still
near.
Had these kind of interstate rivalries, and fans hated Dayton for a while there, especially after the Gavin injury. Hated Dayton. But I'll let that go. So talking about this whole Berhalter choice thing, that whether he's going to play the young guys or the starters, if he was in a better position in terms of his standing with the fans, I think he would play a lot of the young guys. he still might do that to a degree, but I think we're going to see more starters than we would otherwise, because I do not think he wants to lose this game. I think, or at least I hope, that he recognizes that if he were to drop this game, a lot of people would take it as a sign that, okay, we're not good enough. If we can't even beat the second division team that's been around for barely a full season, something's got to change. And so I think they're going to put out a strong lineup. I'm not sure it's going to be all the starters. I wouldn't expect to see Higuain, for example. I'm not even sure we're going to see Ola Kamara. But I think it's going to be a strong enough lineup to easily run up the score on FC Cincinnati. I mean, like Sam said earlier, I mean, we played Tampa Bay Rowdies last season. We beat them 4-0. And they beat FC Cincinnati last season 1-0. And FC Cincinnati was a better team last year. So we have the personnel to absolutely demolish FC Cincinnati. And I hope and expect that we will do so. If we don't, I am officially concerned, potentially on the Berhalter out bandwagon, if we were to drop this result, which I do not think will happen. So I think we'll be fine.
Don't start that Berhalter bandwagon stuff again, or this Berhalter out nonsense. I'm over it. I think for the lineups, I fully anticipate maybe getting a look at Brad Stuver. I think, you know, we're going to see Krenali and probably Lalas Abubakar. I actually tend to disagree with you, Alex. I think you're going to see probably Higuain or Kamara in there for the early moments, you know, just so that you can get that kill shot in on them and kind of kick them while they're down, because their talent really is going to shine through. And if FC Cincinnati are as good as advertised, or they say they are, you know, they should be able to stop two high-quality players like that. But I don't see a reason. I would hope that Greg would put Adam John as a starter, because I see, honestly, if anybody plays for sure out of the starting 11, it's going to be Miram, Higuain, and Kamara for sure. That's my guess.
I would think if Marshall Hollingsworth makes it back, he's been having a pretty good season. And he scored, I think he scored 2 out of 3 last year with Christian Martinez scoring the third one against Tampa Bay. So I honestly could see like Nico Hansen maybe or Marshall Hollingsworth started, or if they don't start Kamara and Higuain and Miram and Finley and those guys, then if the game is still tied at half, I wouldn't be surprised to see them come in the second half and just finish this thing off.
I think the interesting thing we've got here, which we haven't had in some of these Open Cup games in the past, is that they've been off for, you know, over a week now. Coming off the Colorado game, obviously they didn't play this weekend. Cincinnati did, and they did rest some guys, but you know, I think that's kind of may play a part, you know, in Greg's decision. Get guys, you know, maybe 45 minutes or so before Saturday, so that you don't go into Atlanta with guys having, you know, 2 full weeks off. And, you know, they didn't practice the entirety of last week. Well, they practiced Thursday and Friday, I guess, but they had 4 days off there and whatnot. So I think that'll play a factor. I do think, you know, you look at what Greg did last year in that game. Justin Merrim started. A handful of guys. Will Trapp came in at halftime for Chani. So there was certainly some of the starters in there. So I believe they'll probably get some of those guys in there from the start, or maybe, you know, like Sam said, have him on the bench and just in case you need it for the second half. But I was, you know, I think it's funny that we're talking about, you know, if Crew lose this game. I was on Cincinnati Soccer Talk last night, their podcast down there, and, you know, they're talking as if they're playing a top level team. You know, it seems almost really nervous about this game as opposed to, you know, hopes to come away with a win. So it's just funny to hear the different perspectives, and I think Columbus certainly has the tools to take care of business, but it'll be interesting to see what they do lineup wise.
Well, one of the things we've also seen, not just personnel wise, but messing around a little bit tactically in terms of the lineup, where, I mean, I believe it was a couple of years ago, that was the first time that in a U.S. Open Cup game, it was the first time that Berhalter busted out the back three or back five, depending on how you'd like to see it. And so do you think this is an opportunity as well for Greg Berhalter to maybe try out some of the different formations, or do you think we're going to see him, as he's been doing kind of throughout the season? Or do you think it's one of those, again, kind of as you were hinting on, Murph, as you're with that time off, you want to get back in the repetition, get back in the habits that you're used to, and so maybe something a bit more conventional from him and personnel-wise and formation-wise?
I could see them potentially playing the three in the back. I don't know enough about Cincinnati's team and kind of the makeup of it to kind of judge, you know, how they'll line up, how they'll play this game. But I do know Greg was down there, took in the game on Saturday, doing some scouting. So, you know, I think he's going to put out the formation that he thinks will make the most sense for to get the win. You know, I think he's had enough tactical experimentation during the first half of this season that you don't need to do that maybe as you did in years past in the Open Cup.
I think one of the other intriguing parts about this this game especially is looking at the backdrop of the announcement, I believe earlier today, that FC Cincinnati is going to be looking to try to build a new stadium. And you look at that in contrast to Columbus, which, of course, proudly the first soccer-specific stadium in North America. But I think something that a lot of fans have been looking to see about, you know, is there an opportunity to build and finance a new stadium or maybe move to an area that isn't quite as secluded as the fairgrounds kind of are in Columbus. And so that makes for a little bit of an interesting storyline to add in as well. Or not. Moving on.
Well, I mean, I could touch on that, Bart. You know, I mean, I was just kind of looking on reading that actually just as you were saying that. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because I want to see the figures between how much it gets broken down between the ownership and how much the taxpayers are going to have to take. And I know they're kind of going back and forth with whether this stadium is going to be located in Covington or if it's going to be in downtown Cincinnati, and who's going to fit the bill for it. I know they're kind of touting this, we're going to take most of it and it's never been done before. And that's not true. Orlando City's is, I'm pretty sure, about almost 100% completely privately funded. But, you know, it's interesting that, you know, they've got this going on. I like ours, you know, to make a football analogy. I really think, you know, Mafra is very much like Soldier Field of soccer in the United States. And it's got that tradition. It's got the history. It's got Dos Aceros. But does that mean if we've got the right location, I wouldn't be open to moving Mafra? Absolutely. You know, if we've got something in the short north, or if we've got something, you know, south in Franklinton, or, you know, German Village or something like that, I think it definitely could get better traffic. And one of the teams that I really cite are the Columbus Clippers, how, you know, somebody could be coming from, you know, event downtown and can walk you know, past the game, see what's going on. Oh, tickets are $5. Oh, that's, you know, that's great. I know, you know, crew won't be $5, but, you know, if they see that soccer, they could be like, oh, that looks like fun. Let's go check it out. You know, so the more exposure you get to people, more casual fans, I think the more they'd be better getting people in through the gate.
Look, having lived in Cincinnati for 9 years of my life, Cincinnati, just like Columbus, they got bit really bad with a horrible deal when it came to Paul Brown Stadium. And those taxpayers are not going to approve any sort of tax, not even one-tenth of a penny, for another stadium. It's just not going to happen. So you're looking at mostly private funding and maybe some sort of work with the local government, whether in Covington or Newport or even in downtown Cincinnati, where they can find, there are some open spaces. Now, when Carl Linder, who's the current Linder owner of FC Cincinnati's dad, when he used to own the Cincinnati Reds, he foot the bill for about half, if not two-thirds, of Great American Ballpark. And the public funding that came was very, very little in comparison to what he put in. And that's probably going to be their only option when it comes to building that stadium, is if Linder foots the bill, nobody's going to care. The only issue is going to be finding the land to put that stadium in, and he'll just pay for it. If Linder does not decide to foot the bill, then they're SOL, because there's no chance in hell those voters are going to approve a tax. I think the same thing is going to happen in Columbus, is that while I don't think Precourt will foot the whole bill, I would think that he might be able to work some sort of tax break or some sort of benefit with the local government in order to secure the site and secure the building of that stadium. How that will happen, that's for lawyers and accountants and stuff like that to figure out, and for Precourt to figure out how much he's going to loosen the purse strings. But, you know, I think if the Crew, from a dynamics and people standpoint, if the Crew wants to grow its numbers, it is going to have to move to a new facility that offers something to the public that's not just the arid supporters of the team. It has to offer something to, whether it's families that are coming down, it has to offer something to people that want to go grab a bite to eat before the game, or want to grab a couple beers before the game or something like that. Would that possibly spell an end for regular tailgating? That's very possible. Maybe you find a site that doesn't allow for tailgating, but it's a good site for a stadium. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of consideration, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see with Cincinnati's announcement today, how quickly it's going to get shot down by the city specifically more than the state when it comes to public funding for the stadium.
It certainly will be interesting. Of course, a big game going down. I know there is a sizable contingent of Crew SC supporters making their way down, nor on tour. So it'll be a fun game to watch, and I think it will be a great 700-plus, according to my man Ralph here, going down. So obviously the fans are stoked about it. We are stoked about it. The fact is it's, you know, even with the tongue firmly implanted in the cheek for most of the earlier part of the podcast, we are talking about a U.S. Open Cup game, and we've spent at least 10, 15, 20 minutes doing it, which I don't know if I've spent 10, 15, 20 minutes talking about the U.S. Open Cup over the past 4 years combined. So it'll be a big game for an interesting thing to see how Crew SC will be, will show up, and if Crew SC shows up there ready to play and wanting to compete and put UFC Cincinnati away, or if they want to put the young players in. But a game that we don't want to overlook, one that actually matters in the standings coming up on the weekend, is Atlanta United, that we can preview a little bit. Atlanta last weekend dropping, while Crew SC were on a bye, a 2-0 game to Chicago. And after a pretty torrid start to their inaugural MLS season, they've come down to earth a little bit, now sitting below the red line with 18 points and 14 games played, still 2 games in hand with Columbus, but still have been a pretty potent attacking team. They've got a +6 goal differential, which is better than Columbus, which is better than Orlando City, and better than the New York Red Bulls, who are all above them in the standings for the Eastern Conference. And fellas, I mean, it's a pretty big game for Columbus coming back and an away game against another team somewhat sort of like Cincinnati, in that they've got a very vocal fan base that's really psyched about having soccer, and they're making some waves. Give them credit, they're making some waves in their first MLS season.
Yeah, I mean, they're exciting. They may have gotten a little too big for their britches at the start of the season, but, you know, all these games that I've watched them play, I've been very impressed, you know, particularly with Miguel Amarone, Joseph Martinez. You know, Larenowitz is kind of interesting. I've always kind of respected him from his days in Bridgeview. And then Greg Garza, who was a potential Crew SC Discovery pick from the start of the year, has had a pretty decent year. But the fans are very excited. They're ravenous. But yeah, if they've come crashing back down to earth a little bit, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit, you know, happy about that. But, you know, those fans are pumped. This is still a very new thing for them. They're going to be moving into a beautiful facility in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. You know, it scares me, you know, particularly with having fans that are, you know, going to be very passionate in the game 100%. Our first time there, you know, kind of learning to tread water initially. I don't know how I feel about the whole situation, especially with, I think, Murph, if the Ghanaians are still gone, you know, with Awful Mensa and Abu, I think we may still be kind of shorthanded.
They'll be back.
I say, so what? We've done, Orlando had rabid fans and we went down there and whatever. You know, it's MLS. It's MLS. I was worried the first time we played them, when we played them in the preseason. And then I'm like, nope. They're an expansion team, just like Minnesota, just like Orlando was, just like all these expansion teams that came in, you know, with their pants on fire, and then 10 games down the road, they settled down. So, we're walking into a new place. So what? We've been here.
Minnesota literally was on fire when they were a huge dumpster fire when they first came in.
True, true.
Did you just say that you aren't worried about this game because of a preseason result?
No, that's not what I meant. What right, I was
just,
saying is...
Just clarifying.
I was worried about Atlanta when we played them in the preseason. I'm saying I'm not worried about it now. Not, I shouldn't have phrased it that way, but whatever. Jet lag. Shut up.
Yeah, I do think... I mean, I think this is an interesting game just, you know, from Columbus's standpoint in the standings. You know, obviously you take that tough defeat in Toronto, you come back home and you have a nice beat down on a depleted Seattle side, and then you go out to Colorado and you know, crap down your legs, so to speak. You know, have a lead through 80 minutes and let that, you know, go. Now Colorado's been a little bit better recently, but still not a game that I think anyone was happy about losing, and especially in the fashion that they did. So now the team's had, you know, almost 2 weeks off to kind of think about that Colorado game. I know Greg talked about having gone back and watched it multiple times, and, you know, obviously they have this Open Cup game, you know, before that, but going into Atlanta and getting a result would be big for them. I think coming out of this break after that game, they've officially reached the middle point of the season. So, you know, we're not at the beginning of the year anymore. They need to start getting results. You know, this team only has one tie on the season. If they can start getting some ties on the road, obviously you prefer to get wins and get the full 3 points, but, you know, figuring out how to grind out results, especially on the road, is going to be big the second half of this year. And, you know, whether it's Atlanta, whether it's, you know, Chicago, whoever it may be, I think coming back from this little mini break and starting to get things going the right direction is important.
To be fair, Murph, I worry about every team we play, because we have the potential to shit down our leg against every team, and we've
wow. I use the PG version of that term.
Whatever.
There
I'm running
goes
this podcast.
Our rating.
Oh God.
But you know, I happened to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning just to catch like the last 10 minutes of that game, and I'm like, seriously, I woke up for this. You know, it's frustrating, and it's. I always say that we need to be consistent, because we're consistently inconsistent. And unfortunately, we are consistent, but in the worst way possible, in the matter that we poop the bed every time when we should close out a game and come out with 3 points. And if anything that ends up getting Berhalter fired, it is that. Why, regardless of who you're putting back there, why is that an issue? And the answer is, it's the system. But why is that not being fixed?
It's not being fixed because MLS is going to MLS, and nothing matters. This whole season has been totally bizarre, but I do think that we have a team that on the day can beat Atlanta, and especially in the kind of form they're in. The one concern that I have is not so much the two squads, actually. And this is a problem with Berhalter to a degree, but Berhalter can get out-coached sometimes. And especially at halftime, teams will make adjustments and they'll kind of find us out. Tata Martino is a very, very good manager. He's struggling a little bit with Atlanta right now, but he's the kind of coach that could really see something that could be exploited in a crew team and then tell his players how to exploit it effectively. So that's kind of my big concern. But to be honest, guys, I just can't think past this gigantic match, possibly the biggest in crew history, against a one-year-old Cincinnati team this Wednesday. Just kidding.
And that is fair, Alex. And we sounded like a little bit nihilist earlier, but I'm glad to see it was just that you're zeroed in on that this huge, massive game Wednesday. But, you know, and it actually brings up a point that you sort of talked about earlier. And now a couple of you have mentioned, you know, the sack Berhalter, the fire Berhalter, and I want to go back to that quickly. Alex, you said you felt like that Greg would almost feel pressure from the fan base and stuff to get this result against Cincinnati, and that, you know, there could be some implications for his longevity with the club if he weren't to get it. I want to know if the rest of you guys here, do you feel like that a result here in this U.S. Open Cup game against FC Cincinnati, I wouldn't say that would be the, you know, and Sam, forgive me, as someone who's coming back from Egypt, the straw that broke the camel's back. But could that be something that starts, you know, building on it and snowball effect?
Well, let me clarify before we get going. I don't think that this is necessarily the straw that's going to break the camel's back, but I think it's the straw that's going to get people talking about it in a big way if we were to lose. I don't think for a second we're going to lose, but I do think it has that kind of potential.
I think it would be tough to, you know, we kind of went into saying that the team hasn't really put an effort into the Open Cup. They haven't cared that much about the Open Cup in recent years. And then to say that an Open Cup game, you know, while it would certainly be frustrating to fans, I feel like that's something that people are going to kind of look past ultimately. Yes, this one's certainly a bigger profile, but, you know, it's still the Open Cup. I don't think that the average crew fan is paying much attention to this game. And, you know, in terms of the whole sack Berhalter thing, you know, something I think people have failed to kind of pay attention to is, you know, with him being not only the head coach but also the sporting director, he's got his fingerprints all over this club. And if they get rid of him, especially in the middle of a season, you know, where are they going to go? The team is set up entirely to play the way he wants them to play. You know, and if they were to go give Josh Wolf, for instance, the reins for the rest of the year, you know, say they go on a big slump and end up firing him, which I don't believe will happen, but, you know, Josh Wolf will look to play the same way. I mean, he's come up under the Berhalter system. He's, you know, believes in these tactics as well. So I hear a lot of people that are frustrated, and I understand that at times, but I'm just not really sure where you go from here if you're going to try and get rid of a coach midseason who's literally put this team together, you know, by himself.
No, it's not. I think what Alex says is more true, is that it's not going to break the camel's back at this point, but it's going to get the ball rolling on breaking the camel's back. And that's where, yeah, I would think that the casual crew fans actually do care about this game because it is a local game, even more than Dayton. You know, yes, people hated Dayton, but Dayton is still a small team that wasn't getting 20,000 people at the game. So you look at FC Cincinnati, and I think the casual fan, I think if this game was up here in Columbus, we'd probably see a good crowd, maybe not 20,000 or 25,000 or whatever it is that they're going to get down there, but definitely more than the average of whatever it is, 5,000 to 7,000 that we average for Open Cup. But in the great scheme of things, this has been like an institutional thing. The last time we made a decent run at the Open Cup was in 2010, also when I was going to Egypt, because the crew was playing the final against DC.
Are you saying there's a correlation here?
I don't know. I am. Hey, look, my flight number today was the same number as my house number. I can say a lot of things today and hope that it goes well.
What's the winning lottery number?
I have no idea. Okay. I got asked a lot about that today. But, you know, but you get my point. It's Warzyha didn't care about the Open Cup. No matter how many times he said, I played to win the game and all the trophies. Yeah, that never really happened. Who was Ziggy? Well, Ziggy won the didn't Ziggy win the Open Cup?
They got Ziggy to the final against Seattle.
Okay. So, I mean...
Or no, I guess that was with Warzyha.
Yeah.
Warzyha got to the final.
To the final against Seattle. Yeah. So, I feel frustrated about the Open Cup because it's not an easy trophy, but come on, we win the first round and then we flame out against Chicago, what is it, 3 out of the last 4 years or whatever. It's frustrating, but what we're seeing is this consistently, as we said, pooping down the leg, see I cleaned it up, in the end of games. And if that continues to happen across tournaments, across competitions, then when is this going to improve? If it hasn't improved after 3 years, when is it going to improve? And I think that's what's becoming more frustrating to the fans than anything else. Am I on the fire? I almost said fire wars. Yeah. Am I on the fire Berhalter bandwagon? No, I'm not. But could I see him be let go at the end of the season if they miss the playoffs or flame out in the first round? Yeah. Yeah, I could.
Okay. Two things. Number one, as hosts, can we stop talking about defecation? Because this is getting old. This is getting kind of poopy talking about this. Number two, the Zach Berhalter bandwagon. I mean, guys, I'm with Murph, and we said this 2 weeks ago. You know, Murph, if you weren't gallivanting around God's great earth, and you know, if Sam wasn't in Egypt doing awesome stuff that I was envious of by following him on Instagram. Anywho, you know, it's the thing is, I think the casual fan doesn't care. It's a lot of the diehards. You're going to find your supporters groups, your GCG bags of the world, you know, Hudson Street hooligans, those guys. To everybody that I've talked to in these supporters groups, they're very excited about this game. They're excited for a chance to show what Columbus is, to showcase those guys down 71. You know, we're going to beat you up down the field, left, right, and center. You know, I think it's a huge match. In the grand scheme of things, I think we would play with a lot of hurt pride if we lost. I think it would hurt. Would it change Berhalter's standing with the team and be a tipping point? I don't really believe so. From my own personal perspective, if I can jump back on the fan side for a second, it would be really cool to make a U.S. Open Cup run and get into CONCACAF Champions League, because I really would love to see the team in CONCACAF Champions League, because I can't tell you, 2 seasons ago when Montreal made that run and played, I forget who the Liga MX side was that they were playing, but when they made that deep run, I was jealous. I said, we could beat this Montreal team, you know, and it just, I would love to see Crew SC make a deep run in the CONCACAF Champions League.
And I'm on board with you on that one, Ralph, and that's one of the, you know, trying to weigh it. And that's why I think, especially with this year, with, as we've talked about, you know, throughout the year, the depth that we believe this team has, I want to see them take this tournament seriously. I'd like some hardware. I think it seems pretty clear that they don't really, you know, the supporters' shield isn't going to be within grasp, or not likely. I think we're all kind of the same mind that it's, you know, just get in the playoffs, baby, get hot at the right time. You look at what Portland did when they beat us. They were, you know, the wild card team, last one in, but they got hot and they were able to, you know, go and come home with the trophy. But to just brush off the U.S. Open Cup as something that's, you know, not worth the time or not worth the effort, when you've got a deep bench like we think that this Columbus Crew SC team has, I think would be a real loss and a real disappointing approach. And that would almost, you know, Berhalter, you know, more than anything, that just it's, look, win. I want you to go into every, like Bob Warzyha, go into every game wanting to win, and wanting to win by 10. you know, and just doing it right and trying to get, you know, get for the process. It's all about, you know, building the process, but trying to win each game and trying to get a trophy. And I'd love to get a trophy this year. If that's the U.S. Open Cup, so be it. I don't know. You guys, am I just the only one? Ralph and I are the only ones that are all in on U.S. Open Cup?
Here's my thought about these tournaments, and whether it's the U.S. Open Cup or, you know, the FA Cup or, you know, what, you know, pick your tournament in whatever country. I get the sense that when a team is making a run, you know, and they get to the quarterfinals, the semifinals, maybe the finals, that's when people really start to pay attention. You know, the fans really get behind it. The team talks about it like, you know, they're taking it seriously. I mean, really talking about it like they're taking it seriously. You know, if you go a few years without winning, you know, one of those tournaments, the fans kind of turn to, oh, well, it's just the Open Cup. It's just the FA Cup. You know, it doesn't get kind of the support that you'd get. So I think if Columbus, you know, made a push, you know, as Sam mentioned a couple times, got past Chicago and, you know, there was a championship game in sight, you know, this is something that they could host again, I think people would get behind it. You know, obviously this was the first trophy that this team ever won, so there's some history there. They've played in the final three times, but I do think it requires you, as you being the team, to make a push and kind of get over the hump that's kind of eliminated you these last few years in this next round.
You know, and just to kind of go off that point where it's just the FA Cup, let's not forget the FA Cup gave us Wayne Shaw, the famous meat pie goalkeeper. So that was my favorite memory of the FA Cup this year.
Alex, you've been a little bit quiet on this one. Where do you stand on cup runs and you know, whether this is something that Crewes, you know, regardless of the game Wednesday, whether this is something that Crewes should take seriously?
Well, I obviously love the different tournaments that we find ourselves in, and I like going on cup runs. But unfortunately, I think that the Crew, for a lot of reasons, have kind of prioritized the regular season of MLS. If we were selling out every game, I could see them putting kind of more of an emphasis on that to try to build up attendance for that as well. But I think they're trying to kind of make the regular season of MLS the main attraction. And then for the diehards, you know, you have the Open Cup, you have preseason, you have the summer friendly, you have things like that. But yeah, I don't, as much as I would like to see them put a priority on things like this, I just don't see it happening. Another thing to consider with all of this is the Open Cup does not really have a big cash prize. And to be fair, MLS doesn't either, but you have television revenue and things like that to kind of make it more of a financial a benefit to win those games rather than for Open Cup where you basically just get a handful of ticket sales and that's it. I'm not sure what the agreement is with FC Cincinnati and the Crew. Do they split it? Split revenue? Does anybody know? Patrick, do you know?
I do not. That's a good question. I know they used to do it that way, but I don't remember if they... I haven't heard in a few years if that's how they still do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But, I mean, if you're getting, you know, 8,000 people through the gate at FC Cincinnati, that would be a pretty decent payday. But the reality is when you start getting into these MLS versus MLS teams, you're playing in front of 3,000 or 4,000 people. You're not really making much money. You have to have staff there, everything like that. So it's not necessarily a big money maker for the club. So I understand why they're not prioritizing it, but it is a fun tournament and it is something different for the fans to experience. I think a lot of fans wish that MLS was structured in a little bit different way. At least I do. I think having 60% of the teams making the playoffs, things like that, it kind of undermines the value of the regular season to a degree. And competitions like the Open Cup get around that. And, you know, if you lose in the Open Cup, you're out. You just go home. And that's fun for people like me who've kind of been around MLS for a while. But until more people start to really care about it, until we're getting sellouts in Open Cup games and things like that, I just don't think it's going to be as high of a priority for this club as the regular season is.
It's funny you said that, Alex, about, you know, the kind of the prize money, because I was talking to Ethan Finley the other day, and apparently two or three years ago, the prize money of winning the Open Cup was $250,000, and winning MLS Cup was $200,000 or $225,000 or something like that. So for 1 year, they actually made more sense to invest in the Open Cup for whatever reason than it did the league itself. But yeah, I don't think that's the case anymore.
Well, and I also think beyond just like the prize money, you had all these different other revenue streams that were coming in exclusively from kind of your regular season. But right. I do think U.S. soccer needs to invest more in the Open Cup just overall. I think one of the big advantages, I mean, they do have streaming now, which is great. You're not having to follow every game on Twitter or on a Facebook page or something like that. Or just waiting until the next day to see if your team won or lost. That was always fun. But it's got steps that it still has to go. So I think it's getting there slowly, but until the level of interest in this country is higher, I think it's gonna be tricky. And level of interest in Columbus as well.
It certainly should be an interesting game, and of course, that game you'll be able to watch that game you mentioned streaming on the YouTube. So. I don't know the exact, you know, what the URL, but if you head over to either ColumbusCrewFC.com or MLS Soccer, you'll be able to find the link to watch those games. And, fellas, anyone going down making the trip to Cincinnati Wednesday?
I am.
I'll be there.
Nice. Well, you'll be able to follow Patrick Murphy and Alex Stanek for all the live action there from Nippert Stadium. Fellas, let's get some picks in. We'll start as you appear to me on the screen. So, Ralph Schudel, lead us off. What's your pick here against FC Cincy?
Ooh, buddy. 3-0.
3-0. All right. Pat Murphy, what do you got?
3-1. We'll go with the same score as last year.
All right. Sam Fahmy?
I'm going to go 4-1.
4-1, big one. And then Alex?
It's going to be 6-1, and we're going to play half of our starters, and we're still going to kill them.
Going to play half of your starters when suddenly at halftime the smoke comes on at Nippert Stadium. And
We don't need him. We don't need him.
Emilio Renteria appears.
Oh, Emilio
Renteria. Radamel Falcao's father is going to come on. He's still going to score against FC Cincinnati.
Oh, well, for what it's worth, I'll go with a 4-0 score, fellas, and it'll definitely be a good game. We'll have a lot to talk about no matter what next week. And again, make sure to follow us or follow Massive Report on Twitter. And, of course, the big game on Saturday, you should watch that at maybe perhaps Land Grant Brewing Company at 424 West Town Street in East Franklinton, or the Old North Arcade at 2591 North High Street. Great places, both of those, to watch Crew SC in Atlanta. Hopefully, doing their best Sherman impression and burning the city down. So we'll hopefully have a couple wins to talk about next week, along with, of course, a big win for the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, knock on wood. So that should about do it for the rest of you guys. I'll see everyone else next week. Bye, buddies.